your husband.
So it's the fun part. I like to talk about my husband. And been married 35 years plus. Be married 36 years come December 30th. So yeah, so it's been fun. We've had our ups and our downs, and it has been a long time since I've had little kids. Although I have my granddaughters, but I mean, little kids, working a job, juggling church and my schedule and all of that, and trying to make my husband feel like he's number one, you know. And I think that really is the challenge. I know last month you guys talked about making God your priority, and today I want to talk about making your husband your second most important priority in your life. Let's look over, before we do that though, I want to look over in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to review, a lot of this is review, but putting it into perspective of your marriage. And we're going to look at the wise and foolish builders. So, you know, Proverbs 14 says, the wise woman builds her home and the foolish one can tear it down. And we all want to be wise women and wise wives when it comes to our marriage. Verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, a wise woman. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and they beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. We are all building a house. God is the foundation. Our husbands and we and our husband and ourselves are the supporting beams. And we create this home. We create this family. But we are the supporting beams. And unless those beams are strong and constructed well, then there will be crumbling. And I think using God's word is what's going to keep it all, like the mortar, the faith and the water, you know, everything, put it together, it holds strongly. But we've got to, you know, we can have all the scriptures we want in our head, but if we do not put them into practice, it's not going to work. And what I do, what I have done in the past, and I still do, I mean, I've used my Bible more on the subject of marriage for myself and to help other people, probably more than for any other reason. I mean, there is so much stuff in there. And why is that? It's because our marriages bring out the worst and the best. You know? You didn't even know it was in there and it comes out, right? You know, it's like, oh my gosh, is that me? Did I just say that? Did I just do that? You know, and the guilt and all the other things that come into place there. We definitely need our scriptures. And for me, and I think a great practice for you, is to have a list of scriptures, whether you write them down on little index cards or you just know them and you memorize them. And it just pops in your head and you just know. Overcome evil with good. Okay, my husband he just didn't say that, did he? Did he just do that to me? Okay, don't retaliate. Overcome evil with good. What am I going to do? You know, am I going to come back kind? Am I going to come back patient? Or am I going to retaliate, you know? But these scriptures, where does wisdom come from? Is it pure? It's peace-loving. It's, you know, submissive, full of mercy. That's James 3. Definitely have Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3. Those are key marriage scriptures. Proverbs 31 woman. Titus 2, you know. All of these, we've got to have them in our little journal and in our head of, these are the scriptures I've got to turn to when I need help. And of course we need one another. Titus 2 tells us that if we need another godly woman in our life, whether she's older or older in the faith, we need these women in our lives. So let's first start off with that, because we need to keep that always in mind, that this is where we're going to get the help, is from the scriptures and from one another and from prayer. But I just have three short points to pass on to you, making our husbands our priority. And I have a questionnaire that I passed out, and we're going to just start off with this. And we're going to take this little test. And I got this off the internet, and it's basically for, it says marriage is hard work, and when kids come into the picture, nurturing your relationship may fall by the wayside. So are you making your marriage a priority? So I'm going to start off. I'm going to read them, and you can just mark it down. Number one, my partner and I spend at least a half an hour alone together after the kids are in bed. Number two, I offer my spouse a smile and a kiss when we see each other at the end of the day. Or beginning of the day, whatever. I wish my partner, number three, helped me more with the house and the kids. Number four, our children see us being affectionate to one another. Number five, we hug and kiss each other every day. Number six, we tell each other we love one another every day. Seven, we make time to go out on dates together. Number eight, I look forward to time alone with my spouse. Number nine, I wish we were more intimate with one another. Number 10, my partner and I are able to get away together at least once a year, even if it's only for a long weekend. 11, I compliment my spouse and I'm sincere when I'm doing it. 12, I call my spouse during the day just to say hello. 13, I feel my partner does not listen when I'm trying to communicate. 14, my spouse understands the importance of family. 15, we argue in front of the children. I thought that was a really good point that Cindy pointed out. I was like, that's the marriage lesson right there. 16, we put the kids before our marriage. That's a big one. 17, I would rather have me time than us time. Whoa. How often do I think about that? 18, my spouse goes out with friends while I stay home with the kids. 19, we express non-sexual affection to one another, such as holding hands or giving back rubs. And 20, marriage is hard work, but worth the effort. I thought these were some really good, you know, check yourself here. And down at the bottom, and actually you can score yourself. So you can do it now or do it later, but you just add up the points, I guess. That's how it goes. And then you can see, how am I doing here? But really, this is kind of like my lesson right here, this little questionnaire. I liked it because it kind of checks you. And I would go home and share it with, if you have a husband, share it with your husband. And just see how you're, you know, he thinks you're doing even. Maybe he could take a little test too. So one scripture I did want to turn to with this. I gave you a lot to just think about in the beginning there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is one I don't really go to that much, but I thought, I was trying to find one that focused on making our husbands a priority. And, of course, we all know the one in Genesis chapter 2 about we are our husband's helper. That's what we're created to be, as our husband's a suitable helper for our husband. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34, now what we're talking about here is being devoted. Paul says, you know, it's better to be single and, you know, so that you can devote yourself to the Lord. But then he refers to verse 33, actually. No, 34. But a married woman, you have to kind of go down a little bit. It talks about the single woman. Then it says, but a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I mean, this is well known thousands and thousands of years ago that this was just what wives did. It was what our concern is pretty much to how are we going to please our husband. Mm-hmm. And you have to ask yourself, when you get up in the morning and you start going, of course we're going to, you know, have our time with God. And, you know, I actually have to put my husband in there. I put my husband in my prayers. You know, God, what do I need to do to please my husband today? It doesn't always come out, but I just think it's a good thing to start the day off. What does he need me to do? Sometimes our husbands have a list of things that he's like, okay, I need you to go to the bank. I need you to take care of this. I need you to, you know, all these little chores. But how are we going to put our husbands first, even in our hearts? You know, some of these questions were really good. Are, when he comes home, do we go to greet him? Mm-hmm. When, you know, does your husband like you to get up in the morning? You know, mine didn't really care. He's like, you know, he didn't want to talk in the morning, so I was like, okay, that's fine with me. I was saying that, you know. But, I mean, he does want me to be there when I get home, you know. And that was a struggle because I'd be running around, you know. But I think he likes to see me when he walks in the door. My husband, it was important to us that I had dinner. That I, you know, especially when the kids were younger, we had a regular dinner time. That was important to him. It was important to our family. Do we think about that in the beginning of the day? You know, okay, what am I going to have for dinner? Do I plan it? I think, you know, this whole theme of putting our husbands first takes discipline.
Yeah.
It takes thought. And the biggest thing is the kids. I think sometimes the kids just really push out the priority of our husbands, because we spend all this time figuring out what, how we're going to get our kids to here or there, and what we're going to do, and how we're going to take care of them. You know, I was thinking about, you know, God created mothers with this natural instinct, we're going to take care of our kids, no matter what. But it did not create a natural instinct, how are we going to love our husbands? You know what I mean? It's like, it just doesn't come. This is not, why can't it be natural? You know? It's so much easier for both of us. But, you know, Titus 2 is in there. He's like, we've got to learn how to love our husbands. And it's a learning process that I'm still doing. And I have to go back and I have to remind myself of these scriptures of how to put my husband first. You know, I think we run out of energy. We get tired. And it really takes planning. Okay, so how am I going to spend my time? We're both really independent, my husband and I. We could just go our own little ways and do our own little things. And by the end of the day, we're in the bedroom. We're like, hi. Yeah? Okay. That doesn't make me very happy. I want to have that time with my husband before I get to the bedroom.
Yeah,
you know, I need connection time. And so we had to set up a little... for ourselves, we said, okay, we will spend time with each other after dinner. You know, the kids can go play, or they can do whatever, but, or, you know, every day is different, but it was making sure that when we had the time, we would sit down on the couch together, and that we made sure our kids said, this is our time. Don't interrupt us. We want to hang out together. And they, you know, yeah, they can do other things, and we would just sit and talk or whatever. And then there was another priority. It's like, you know, these are important to me. You as wives have to help your husbands make each other priorities, you know. And it's good for them. We're making them a priority by doing this too, I think. So it's like, for me, it was like, I need just quiet cuddle time, you know. Let's just sit here. And he's like, well, this is really hard. No touching, not just sitting here and being, you know, together, you know. It's like, oh, okay, that was important to me. But it's important to him that I save myself for the time in the bedroom for him and the night, you know. And that's important. And for us, some of us, it's important for both of us. And we've got to figure that out. We've got to plan it in. And I think that's a lot of it, is just making sure it happens. Let me see what else I want to say here. So, when you go home, you're going to ask your husbands, is there anything else that takes priority over you? When it, you know, what do I choose first over you? And how can I change that? Are you happy with the way things are? Okay? So, let's go home and ask our husbands about that. So the second point is on respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, you know? Not all about me, but about our husbands, you know? Ephesians 5:33. Let's turn over to there. These are all very foundational. They're things that we go over and over. It's just good to be reminded of it. Okay, Ephesians 5, I'm going to look in. We could go over the whole thing, but yeah, let's go over the whole. Ephesians 5:22. It's interesting how God starts off with the wives. I know why I didn't start on this, because it gets our attention. Wise. Well, right before that, of course, it says in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I always have to keep this in mind, because when I go down to wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord, I kind of, all I see is wives, submit to your husband. I just, for some reason, that as to the Lord, you know, it doesn't, wait. Always come in there, you know. So I have to go back to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That my submission, or my, allow my husband to lead, is because of my reverence for Christ. And that really, that puts things more into perspective. So for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands and everything. Ooh. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, it's really easy to respect your husband when he loves you the way you want to be loved, you know. But we have to also think about, how easy am I to love? You know, it's just as hard sometimes to respect our husbands when they don't love us, but how easy am I to love when I'm not lovable, you know? So, you know, together they work really well, but it's not conditional. God tells us we need to respect our husbands. And I think that we've, you know, this is just a question you ask to ask yourself as well, is about respecting. What are the areas that I need help with? You know, especially even among yourselves, as your friends, your good friends. Your friends see you, they hear you, they know what you talk about, they know what you complain about, they know where your struggles are, and they see you. And then one time this was years ago when the kids were all little and everything, and we were all going to a wedding, and we were just there to see the wedding, and you know how it is, getting out the door and you're late with your little kids and all that, and I was like, oh, you know. And so we get there, and my husband wants to sit all the way in the front. It wasn't the front of the church, but it was like in the balcony, but all the way in front of all these people. And I was like, that is not a good idea. No, I'm not doing that. And I was, I was kind of silently like, no, we're not doing that, you know, and all this kind of motions and all this, you know. And so he went on up there and sat in front, and I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's just so rude. So I sit in the back. And one of the sisters like, sister, I don't think that was very respectful. You know, that just didn't look good, you know. And so it really helped me to see that is part of respect, you know. But people see those things, you know, your little you know, or whatever it is that you're, you know, discussing about the kids or arguing about the kids in public or whatever. I mean, that's just a taste of, but what happens behind closed doors? I mean, that goes on a lot more, you know. Or I don't agree with you, and my opinion's better than yours, and that kind of thing. So I would really encourage you to learn how to have, like it says in Titus 2. Actually, let's look over at Titus 2 real quick. There's another scripture, one that I really want you to get familiar with. In verse 3, it says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. And then they can train the younger women to, number one, love your husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to your husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. And you know, when I did that little, what I did in public, that really didn't make God look good. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what we have to think about. And when we make, we go off, and I didn't have the self-control. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a big part of respecting our husbands, is having the self-control to sit back and think, okay, what do I need to do in this situation, mm-hmm. rather than reacting. You know, the other part of respecting our husbands is honoring him in many different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, do I honor him by keeping an orderly home? Mm-hmm. You know, do I honor him by teaching my children to respect my husband, their father, by teaching them good manners? You know, do I honor him by being responsible with their finances? Mm-hmm. Do I honor him by just praising him in front of other people? Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many different ways to honor your husband, and maybe even one of your quiet times, just sit down and think about, how many ways do I honor my husband, and how many ways can I honor my husband? Mm-hmm. You know, bring honor to him. When we honor our husbands, we honor God. When we respect our husbands, we honor God. And this is just the way it works. This is how God has set it up. You know, when in Genesis 2, he created the man and he said, that's not good enough. He's not complete. Let me give him a wife, someone that's suitable for him. So we were given to our husbands in order to complete him. Not that, you know, this power thing or anything like that. We complete him. Mm-hmm. And we have to see that our role is very important. And God designed it that way. And God designed, you know, the whole hierarchy of someone to lead us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you look at the other passage that I refer to a lot that I look at is Proverbs 31 woman. I love her because she says she brings him harm, not good, all the days of her life. And that's just the scripture that's good enough for me. You know what I mean? When I want to, like, okay, was that good? Was that kind? Was that, you know? This is just great scriptures to have in your mind. Bring him good, not harm. And her husband was an elder. And how did he get there? He had to learn, she had to let him lead the family. You know? Then he became an elder one day. Because you're not qualified to be an elder unless you can lead your family well. Yeah. And that includes you and your kids. Yeah. But it starts with you, is you making that a priority, that how important that is to God, for your husband to be a godly leader. Mm-hmm. And make the word of God look attractive to the world, you know. Mm-hmm. So the third point is, I didn't do this, but I actually have like little titles for everything. And the first title was, I Only Have Eyes for You. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you that. Second title was R-E-S-P-C-T. And the third one is, Wild Thing, You Make My Heart Sing. So you know what that's about. That's actually one of my, Clay and I's favorite little kind of silly joke songs that we like. But it goes kind of way back. Those songs are old. It tells you how old I am. You know, this is an area, it's kind of like the whole thing with the kids and figuring out, like, how do I put my husband before the kids? And but this is another one, I think, as young moms, is how do I really make my time with my husband special? How do I even make it happen? Right. You know, do I even want it to happen? You know, I'm so tired. I don't have any time left at the end of the day. And I know what he's going to think and I know what he's going to want. And I have had this huge struggle through the years. You know, I was not the perfect one in this area when my kids were younger, but I've had to learn that this is like the glue. It's like this bond that holds us together. And if there's anything that Satan wants to tear down, he will go for the core. He will go for this. And it says that, you know, if you jot down the scripture, 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5, that not to deprive each other, because Satan will get a foothold. And you will sin. You will fall. Somehow, some way, you will fall. Whether it's distancing yourself from your husband, you know, and then all the little attitudes come out because he doesn't love me, you know, these kinds of things. But this is kind of the glue. And you know, the most damaging type of sin is sexual sin. So how healing, if it's that powerful, so how healing is the sexual relationship when we have this bond? And, you know, I did a class at the conference, and that would be a good one to, I'm not going to go into all the little details of how to get there and be there, but I just want you to know and get a conviction about how important it is to be together. Now, how often, you know, as long as each person is satisfied. If your husband is like, I'm not satisfied, you know, that's not enough for me, we have to work towards that.
Right.
For young moms, it may be like, well, okay, get the calendar. What day of the week, you know, are we going to set aside and have our special time together? Yeah. It may come down to that. Some husbands aren't happy with that. You know, that's a hard one, but maybe we need to get help with that one, you know, together. but I personally have to wake up every day thinking, I know my husband, and each of us knows our husband and what their needs are. Yeah. I know my husband, and I know what his need is, and I'm like, I have to wake up every day going, okay, Gene, prepare yourself, you know, think about your husband, think about how you love him, and think about that big smile. You know what I mean? I have to think that way, and because I don't want to, so many days in the past, I've gotten to the end of the day, and I'm like, trying to avoid coming to the bedroom. Trying to like, I am just so like, you know, all this and traumatic and, you know, or laid in the bed going, waiting for him to say something. You know? And I've had to learn to initiate. I've had to learn to ask him, you know, what would you like to do tonight? I've gone out with my girlfriend. You have to encourage yourself. Go out with your girlfriends. I've gone out with Terry, you know, and we've like, okay, let's encourage our husbands and find something special to wear and take a bath. Whatever it takes for you to relax and to make that a priority. But it's important. And I think the affection within the home. I asked my daughter last night, I said, did you see us? You know, because we were going through the questionnaire, and I said, did you see us doing that? And she said, oh, yeah, all the time, Mom. You know, just, you know, holding on to each other or dancing to the music or, you know, just being silly together. And I think that's important for your kids to see that you cling to one another, that you need each other, and that Mom and Dad are important to one another. So those are things to just really work on. But, you know, ultimately, it's like going back to my scriptures. Okay, God, how can I give me the faith to obey these scriptures, to really make it important in my heart when it comes to my husband? So that's pretty much my lesson. I just want you to go through, maybe these are just kind of fundamental things to go through and kind of check yourself. You know, what are the areas I really need help in? And because these are really important areas to loving your husband. And I would go home and say, okay, here's what we talked about. Is there other things you want me to add to the list? Because there's tons of other things in the Bible that we need ways to love our husband. But what are the areas you want me to work on? So anyway, and have fun putting it into practice.
Just you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Oh,
yay. Oh, I love note cards. I love it. And candles.
Thank you. Well, I know that that was really helpful and really convicting, and you may have some questions. So I was going to ask Gene to come back up here, and and we have a few minutes if you would like to ask Gene questions, or you can ask me questions too.
Here.
Okay. Between the two of us, we've got a lot of years of marriage, so maybe we can help out. But I think that, you know, I get asked often, how do I get to where you are? How do you get to a point where you're an elder's wife, where your children are faithful and doing well? And what are the most important things? Yeah. And that's one of the reasons when this was all Leslie's brainchild to put this together. She was the brainchild for this, to put this midst group together. But that was the main thing I wanted to bring out, was it's what you put first in your life. Yeah. And it's the priorities you keep. As a young mom and a young Christian and everything, I had a priority planner that had these priorities in it. And every single week, I'd buy one for my girlfriends every Christmas. And that's what you have. And I would, every Christmas, I'd buy it for my best girlfriends, and we would use it every year, because I need to be reminded what's first, because life is so busy and crazy, and I think sometimes even now it's more busy than it was even for me. But so that's what I want to pass on to you, that if you do that consistently, if you keep these priorities consistently, then you do end up with a strong marriage and a faithful family. So it's not a complicated, but it is, you know, always, as the Christian life is, hard to do. So anyway, I just want to ask if you have any questions here at this point. Anything you thought about with putting the husbands as your second priority to God? I know we talked about God last week. Or
go home and get a babysitter and plan out your next date.
That's a good challenge.
That's a good one. Or plan out time that you can let your husband go have a special time, just me time, whatever.
That's good name. I have a question.
Sure.
My husband is deployed, and I haven't seen him in a long time, and it's very hard for me to, I don't know, to think of him first, then my daughter. So how can I... Like, for me right now, my main thing is my daughter. And then, you know, I think about my husband because he's not here with me. But I really, you know, I don't know. It's kind of hard. How can I go back to see my husband as a priority? I mean,
while he's gone?
My second.
He's in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Oh, right, right.
Priority while he's gone, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Or when he comes back.
Do you communicate with him every day, or do you email?
I think
that's important to think. You know, having your quiet time every day, God is first, and you know, spending time with God, but praying for your husband, and then sending him a message that lets you know. I think every day you can make it special for him. Something you appreciate about him, something you love about him, something, you know. I was praying for you today. I was thinking about you today, and this is what I miss about you, or this is what I mean, I think that's so important. But in that way, you've put him first, and then you go on. And, of course, the rest of your day is probably very busy with your child and whatever else you have to do. But making sure you do, you know, send off that email after you have your quiet time, after you've read your Bible and prayed. And then you know that, okay, I'm really attempting to, you know, put this next. That would be one thought I had. Did you have a thought on that one too?
I'm also military, and my husband and I both were military, but he's out of the Air Force now, but he was deployed to Pakistan, and our first son was about 4 weeks old when he was deployed, and he didn't come back till he was almost 11 months old. And one of the things that I did was ensure that I included him in our family activities, even though he was deployed. You can get a video camera, some cheap video cameras, and even they have some now that you put a little disc in them and you can actually email it to him, so he can see the activities that you guys are doing, and then you can plan some of the little crafting things and record you guys making the little crafting things. And so that he can be somewhat involved, so he sees what's going on. And then you can also talk to him about the finances. And even when you have your own little quiet times, even if it's just a scripture, you can type something down about what you learned and what you shared and say, well, what are your thoughts on this? And to see what, because that'll also help him to keep his mind open to God. Because a lot of times when you're deployed, you get distracted. And it's hard, and you can get discouraged, because I've been deployed too. And reaching out. So that's definitely one way that you can just keep him involved. And it'll help you guys stay tied together, because when you become reunited, it's like you're getting to know a new person all over again. He's going to feel useless because you're so used to doing everything on your own without him, he's not going to have a place in the family anymore. So that's one way how you can keep him involved while he's deployed, so that when he comes back, it's an easier transition for you guys.
Those are great thoughts. Yeah.
Something that I found, I was really good at emailing, but I was terrible at writing. And but my husband really liked to receive personal written letters, so I had to make that a priority as well. Also, going back to the like sex is really difficult. Obviously, you're not together. Some things you don't want to include in an email, but you can write. You know, you can encourage them and build them up. There's always things you have to keep that alive and.
I remember my dad was in the military, and he was gone for almost a year, and my mom wrote him, like, twice a day.
Aww.
It was before emails and all that, you know, so he got tons of letters. Sometimes you get them all at one time, so you get, like, five or whatever.
That's true.
But she would have us, like, draw pictures and write cards, and, you know, so she would send all that over as well. But just having us always be thinking about him, too. It is weird when they come back, you feel like, who's this person, but... There's so many ways to keep in touch now.
That's awesome.
I think the area of respect, because you gave a scenario about like bringing the kids up to the front of the church during the wedding. I think for me, the whole idea of, you know, well, that's not, you know, just the pride, I guess. How do you work out when things, as a mom, you know, aren't probably the best, but... you're still respecting your husband. I mean, I guess the way the interaction wasn't good, but how, you know, I think for all of us just to know, like, when you don't agree with something, even you want to respect your husband, but you may have something that could be added encouragement to the situation, is it better just to let him leave and let whatever happens, happens, or still respectfully say, hey, hun, I'm not sure if this is a, you know, what do you think about this? This isn't a great idea, or what? Like, what would your recommendation be for that?
You know, I've learned to do different things over the years, but I think asking him, can I share something? And saying what you think, but I think the problem is are you going to hold on to your, I think it has to be done this way, and I am not, you know, that kind of, so it's like, how do you have that heart of submission? And a lot of it is just letting go. Like, what's the worst thing's going to happen if we do this, you know? And I mean, sometimes if it's really, like, this is not good for the kid, you know, I think it's worthy of a discussion. And, you know, ultimately, they're the leader here. I mean, what do you have anything to add on that one?
Yeah, I think, and then there are, you know, there are things that are obviously more important than other things. And we have to figure that out, that is this really worth, but when I read 1 Peter about Sarah submitting to Abraham, I mean, she submitted to some pretty intense things, saying that she was his sister and ending up with the king, you know, I mean, it was pretty intense. And that's our example. So, but it all goes back to, do I really trust God?
Right.
And it says, we're her daughters if we do what is right and don't give way to fear. And so I think our first challenge is, in our relationship with God, do I really have the respect for God that he has set this up? And do I trust God? Or do I give way to fear because I'm afraid where this guy's taking me?
Right.
And I don't really believe God, you know, is in on this, you know, and but to really believe that, you know, no, God gave me this man to follow, and I've got to trust God, and I believe that's why Sarah was able to do it, because she really trusted God, and she believed God was going to protect her and take care of her, even if her husband made a dumb decision. And your husband will, and because we're human, I do, you know, I mean, so we can't expect them to always, you know, but we've got to trust. On the other hand, we don't trust,
I mean, it's a genuine trust. Mm-hmm. It's not a fake.
Right, right.
Because then I see women on the other side think, okay, I just need to do what he says. And you know in your heart, you don't really trust.
Right, right, right.
But you're just trying to be this superficial religious girl,
right.
You know. I'm just going to trust, and you know. But that's not real. That's
right.
Not right.
Right.
You know, that's dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not honestly trusting my husband, then I honestly have to have a conversation. Now, honestly, I have to say, but if I can honestly say, you know, trust and say, okay, God, I do trust, I'm not, you know, sure about this, then okay. But I usually struggle. I think if you don't struggle with submission, you're not really submitting.
That's right.
If it is not a struggle, because it comes naturally to nobody, and if you're not really struggling with it, you're leading, and you don't know it, or you're really, you know, you're rebelling, because it's a fight. It's a fight with, so I have to, you know, have these talks with God, and then I wish I could say that was it, but that's not always it. I usually have to have a talk then with my husband too, you know, and then I have to, you know, go back to God and say, okay, he said we're going to do this, and, you know, I had my say. I think for a woman, it's really, one of the things that's very important, I think, often to us, is to be heard and to be understood. So don't just say, well, no, the Christian woman, she just says, okay, sure, honey, you know, fine. And it's just as fake as anything, because we're being a hypocrite then. But we do talk it out, but at the end of the day, we realize that God is in control and I trust you. And if they have that kind of respect from us, then our husbands want to hear from us more.
Mm-hmm.
I found through life that the more I'm respectful of my husband, he really respects me. Mm-hmm. And he really sees that I have a lot of wisdom at times too and things to add, and he really does want to listen. Mm-hmm. But when I'm not respectful and I'm, then it's harder for him to hear me. When I'm, well, I just, you know, or how I say it, what, you know, I'm just, I, mm-hmm. then he didn't want, that goes against his basic need, which is to be respected. And and often you have to change first.
Yeah.
I think that's why you put wives submit first.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I hate that. And I've talked to God about that. You know, why do I have to change first? Why do I have to be the one? But don't you find that? You have to be the one first, and when you submit, then everything goes, you know, then he listens to you. Or, you know, and even in your physical relationship, you know, I'm like, why can't you just be nice to me if I'm, you know, why can't you just be, but no, we have to do this first, and then you want to talk to me. He's like, you just don't understand here. I can't talk with all this tension. You know, I'm like, okay, fine, you know. Let's do that first, and you know that's always fun. But I'm just like, but I want mine first. I want to talk first, and you know. But it just often is that way, and that's, we just got to say that's okay. That's the way God made it. That's the way God made us, mm-hmm. and let's go with that. Let's do, you know, that it'll all work out in the end if we just trust God on these things. So, and I think also women think about marriage more, and that's okay too. We read marriage books probably 10 times more than men, and that's okay too. And because we are the homemakers, and so it's okay if we're focusing on it and we draw them into the family, into the home, into the marriage. I think that's what we're created. We're just more created by God to be that way. So that's okay too. These are just things I'm mentioning because these are things I get resentful of. Like, why am I always the one who's thinking about this? And you don't think about this. And that's my sinful nature. So I'm still reading books on marriage. Oh, I think you were next.
That'll be the last one.
Okay.
Okay, bold one. I tend to feel just very guilty about, like, being affectionate and stuff. I mean, I think, basically after having two kids, like, my body's totally different. And within, like, not even, like, I think under a year and a half, I probably had, like, I was on antibiotics, like, 9 times for UTIs. I had to get, like, a cystoscopy and had all these problems. But, like, so basically, like, my body, like, gets sick after, like, just to be honest, I'm fighting off the illness after we, like, have fun, you know? And so it's been very challenging, and I feel a lot of guilt. And, you know, I have to take antibiotics now after we have, you know, sex and stuff. And so anyway, I mean, it's totally different where when we first were married, I mean, you know, everything's perfect, you know, and then now it's just been very challenging, but I do, I feel a lot of guilt, and I think it's hard for me because I was raised Catholic where sex was looked down upon, to be honest, where I was raised, and so it was like, okay, be the good girl, don't, just basically be sexless, you know, don't do anything, and that was like, you know, highly, that's what, you know, was looked highly upon. So anyway, now it's like, okay, I'm married, and I think overall, and I keep talking to him, and I'm saying, are you happy? And he's like, I'm so happy, and I'm like, are you sure? But I've heard, you know, other people are doing this and this and this, and, you know, this is what we're doing, and he seems happy, but I just feel very guilty about it, like, a lot, and I don't know if it's just because I need to repent more, or, but yeah, but I have to take antibiotics, and then I typically fight off being sick for, like, up to 2 weeks, whether with the UTI or with, and I've heard common when after you have a couple babies, but so.
I mean, if your husband is truly, I mean, being honest, if he's satisfied, you know, I think there's other ways to fulfill each other's needs, and it doesn't have to be exactly the way you think. You know, you this is the one and only way to do this and to fulfill his need or my need or whatever. I think there's other things to do as well that you can be completely satisfied with, and you're meeting each other. There's that intimacy. Mm-hmm. And I think that intimacy is key. It's not so much the act. So both of you figuring that out, you know, how can we be intimate even though we're not doing exactly what, you know, the act or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what I think is key, is to be strengthened in that way and meet each other's needs.
Mm. Yeah, I think don't be Catholic. This overriding guilt you have, you know, about what, you know, that's not godly. I mean, that's not godly.
Yeah, I mean, so, honestly, lately I really had to realize a lot of the roots of my sin is a lot of that, you know.
And I think just crucify the guilt. I mean, that Jesus died for something,
right?
And you got to see, man. I'm telling God that His blood is not enough.
Right.
I'm going to carry this guilt. No, I'm going to carry it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. That's, you know, that His blood is enough. Mm-hmm. It should be more than enough.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to get rid of the guilt, just personally for you and between you and God, and
yeah.
And there's, you know, guilt-ridden people are not the easiest people to love. Mm-hmm. I've struggled with this in my life a fair bit, and I think I'm just not that encouraging if I'm guilt-ridden. And I think if you just get rid of the guilt, then you will enjoy whatever, and your husband will enjoy. You know, it can't make him feel too great about himself to know his wife's always guilty.
Right.
You know that you know, this is not working out, and this is a big area for a man, I think, usually, and a big area for their respect.
Yes.
And so, if they feel like they're not fulfilling you in some way, or this is not a positive thing or an encouraging thing to you, is everybody married in here? We're trying to be very okay. Okay. Well, I know this is not, you know, but I also think it's good for people who are not married to have a healthy view of married life, because obviously in the world and the media we get all the negatives. So, but I do think it's very important, and so you've got to get rid of your guilt even for your marriage.
Yeah.
First for God, but then secondly for your marriage, because it's just not encouraging to Him. In that, and I think when you get rid of the guilt, then you figure out what works for you.
Yeah.
And each marriage, we're put together because specifically God thought you were the perfect person for Him, and vice versa. So you can't compare yourself to wow they really. And I don't know if I can do that. Although it's good to challenge yourself sometimes. I mean, I've sat in D groups where I've been challenged, and why don't you try that? And I'm like. And your husband might like that. And I'm like, I don't think so. And I go home and I say, would you really like that? Oh, yeah. I was like, Okay. You know, maybe it's good to ask sometimes, but we're unique. I don't have to compare myself.
Right.
In my relationship to my husband, in my relationship to God, you know, we're all special and unique, and we're the perfect person for them. So I think don't fall into that trap and the guilt thing generally. You got a great husband. He loves you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you want us to do at this point?
Okay. We have about 20 minutes, and if we can go ahead and break up in our groups, we're going to have babies 0 to 1.